Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Ram Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarini Narvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshadarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare So yesterday we were just getting into the third chapter, and at the end of second chapter Krishna answered Arjuna's question. Arjuna's question was, what is the symptom of a person who is situated in transcendence, which means sthitapragnatvam? Sthitapragnasya bhasha samadhisthasya keshava sthitadi kim prabhasheda kimasida prajeda kim. Arjuna asked this question, isn't it? In answer to that, the first verse itself answer was Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partham anogadan Almanyu almanatushta. He says Almanyu almanatushta. That's a very important word there. That he is situated in the soul and he is satisfied there. There is no more hankering after anything else. Almanyu almanatushta sthidadhi. His intelligence is fixed. Krishna answered it like that. Answered that way to Arjuna. So, while talking about it, we had some questions have come up because, as I mentioned before, Krishna is speaking from a purely from a spiritual position and Arjuna is not in that state. Therefore, doubts have come. You understand? That the doubts that come in Arjuna, why did doubts develop in Arjuna's mind? Because Arjuna is not hearing from the same state. Or same face. Krishna is speaking from Anubhava Mandalam, not from the mental platform. He is experiencing it and he is speaking from that. And Arjuna is from in the mental level. He is listening. So that's why that problem has come. That's why the third chapter begins with questions from Arjuna and doubts in Arjuna's mind. In which platform you receive the message, accordingly your reaction will come out. If you are experiencing that realization and if you are hearing it, you won't have any doubts inside. There are two different levels. One is a mental platform. Mental means mental, intellectual, sensual. They are all on the same platform where you are subjected to complete thoughts all the time. Thoughts are coming through and accordingly doubts also along with that. That's one level. The other level is the level of experience, Anubhava Mandalam, it's called. Krishna is completely in experience of what he is saying. So he is speaking from that level and Arjuna is hearing this from the mental platform. So therefore, two levels, speaker and the listener on the same level, then there is no doubts. But when the, I mean, both are in the level of experience, Anubhava Mandalam, there will be no doubts. But Krishna understood that problem, but Arjuna is having it. It's all full of doubts coming out from him. This is all Vedavyasa Maharshi's creation for us, to show us that how a conditioned soul will experience when he is given instructions about spiritual matters. Spiritual topics, you just don't distribute like that freely to anyone because it won't make any sense. To receive that, one has to develop that maturity inside the the maturity or pakvada, they call it. Pakva means the fructified state. Accordingly, you will receive the message also. So, we were talking about that. And I told you about the Brahmana story. That's what we discussed. Brahmana left home, came to the temple, and they gave him the service because he was used to cooking. They gave him that service in the temple kitchen. And there also he was having little bit of difficulties. So, eventually he moved. He was wandering around and he reached an ashram there nearby. And in the ashram, he will go there and he wanted to move down to the ashram because he found a little bit more. In the temple, all sorts of people will come, isn't it? All sorts of people will come. There will be people with, you will see in the temples how it is, people with different ideas. Somebody will be coming for marriage. Somebody will be coming for, somebody's dying in the home, so they are coming to pray. All sorts of people come to the temple. Where in the ashram, normally, generally people are a little bit serious about spiritual life. Only they will turn out in the ashrams. So he moves down to a nearby ashram where a sannyasi was living. And he kept visiting this sannyasi. Little by little, he started finding some peace inside, in that state. So there also, in the ashram, was a small ashram. There were not many people at that time. So he goes into the ashram and there also he again requested for some service and continued the same service what he did before in the kitchen. So while he was doing service in the kitchen, there were other people, there were a few very elderly ladies who had, after their husband's death, have come down to the ashram to spend the rest of their life in peace. Family have all left and they were now free to do what they were wanting to do. And they were not people who had no knowledge of the Shastram. They had studied books also. So naturally, when they were in their householder life, they were studying, listening, thinking about it. So they have matured themselves pretty well. So therefore, when they moved into the ashram also, although as women they were best do for the kitchen, they were doing that service. Inside the kitchen, discussions were all centered around the death, how to prepare for the death, and matters related to spirituality. This was in their nature. They had studied Kaivalya Navaneetam, one of the Vedanta Prakarana Grandam, Yoga Vasishtam, and books like that. So they knew very well that the life, goal of life is not just to get absorbed in the family and completely get lost in that process. So, in this situation, this Brahmana ended up like that. Brahmana didn't have so much of a knowledge of the Shastram. He was just used to this. He has not done any particular sadhana either in life. But, due to the association of all these people, he was feeling some happiness inside. In the sense that he realized that he has reached the right place. At least that much satisfaction had come to him. Till now, all around, he was getting absorbed in all sorts of problems and other things. But here also, although there were problems as far as service was concerned, but there is internally he was feeling some peace because of the type of discussions that was going on in that kitchen. So once the Maharshi or the sage was in charge of that ashram, his nature was he will come to the kitchen every morning, about 3:30 in the morning. And he will help in cutting the vegetables. And there, they get an opportunity to ask him some questions, if they had any personal questions to ask. So, Brahmana used to listen to the questions and answers, what was happening between these elderly ladies and the sannyasi or the Maharshi who was coming there. So, the questions were, it was the same question what we are now discussing. What was that? What happens at the time of death when we leave the body? How do we remember Krishna? So, one of the ladies asked this question to the Brahmana, and Brahmana's answer was like this, that this question, he said, requires a little deeper level of understanding. earlier we have seen when Avayar went to see this Brahmana's house, the lady there who was not very helpful in her husband's pursuit of spiritual life, she asked Avayar, why have you come here to eat if you don't want to eat? Why did you come here? She was this question she asked. So Avayar said, if I have not come here, I won't know how you are behaving. I just wanted to see that. That's why all I come here. And Avayar left that place and went away. So one of those things was that when we take prasadam, as I said before, that if it is not offered in the right mood, if it's not cooked in the right mood, if it's not offered in the right mood, and if you don't receive it in the right mood, it can turn out to be poison. It can damage your consciousness. So therefore, they were very particular that in the ashram also, while cooking, the Maharshi was insisting that the people who are cooking, either they chant the holy name or they engage in discussions related to the soul. Otherwise, no other activity in the cooking. And so naturally, these topics, early hours in the morning, everybody was not able to do completely in the chanting the holy name, but these questions will always come up because they were very matured in their life. They had gone through their life, family life is all over. They all knew that one day they have to leave the body. If one is conscious of all this, these thoughts will naturally come. But otherwise, our material conditioning will drive us back into material life again. So this question came up there, that how should food be eaten? This was one question. And Maharshi answered at that time, he quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a famous verse in the Bhagavatam. And we have discussed that verse. Perhaps you may not have gone into your mind, thought about this. Standile mandra hridaye bhoge atmanam atmani. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, you can worship me at different places. There are so many places mentioned where you can worship Krishna. Standile mandra hridaye. That in the when you are worshipping me on the ground through the mantram, chanting the mantras, you can worship me, mandra hridaye. Then he says, bhogai atmanam atmani. Yeah, bhogai atmanam atmani means any time when you have any sense enjoyment, Krishna is saying, any bhogam means sense enjoyment, atmanam atmani, actually it is for Krishna's pleasure, I am accepting this. If in that consciousness, if you accept anything, it will not create any damage inside. It will create any damage inside. That means while accepting food or accepting prasadam inside, bhogair atmanam atmani, we should not make any comments about the taste of the prasadam. Sometimes we go for the feast and we make good comments, isn't it? The feast was very good. Cauliflower pakodas were nice, but the sweet rice was so good. This is not the mood to accept prasadam. Prasadam, whatever that is coming in, bhogai atmanam atmani. Krishna says that. That bhogam, because for the devotees, the greatest sense enjoyment is prasadam, isn't it? So, bhogai atmanam atmani, he says. Then you can see that in the Bhagavatam, if you look that verse, it says, Sandile mandra hridaye bhogai atmanam atmani, where you can worship Krishna. Krishna is saying this to Uddhava. Standile mandra hridaye, by chanting the mantram in the heart, you can worship him. Bhogai atmanam atmani, you can serve me. Krishna says that in all your sense enjoyment, remembering that it is my enjoyment, I am enjoying it. Krishna is enjoying that. In that mood, if you accept it, it's not troublesome. It's not troublesome. And then he says, Kshetrakyam sarvabhudeshu. That Krishna is present in every living entity as the soul, Kshetrajna, Sarvabhudeshu, Samatvena Yajedamam. Seeing that in everyone on an equal level, Samatvena Yajedamam, you can worship me. Krishna says to Uddhava. So, if all this is, the person who serves the prasadam, he should think before he serves the prasadam, he is in the right consciousness. Person who is receiving the prasadam also should think, bhogaya atmanam atmani, not only prasadam, any sense gratification in this world should be accepted in that way. It is for Krishna's pleasure, I am accepting this. And that has to be an honest thing inside. It should not be taken in the other way. So, that was one discussion there, what happened. And our Brahmana continued his service there. He was given another service of making the sandalwood pulp. Because in the ancient times, sandalwood was a important ingredient in the deity worship. So, it takes hours and hours to prepare sandalwood for covering the deity with the sandalwood pulp. And also to give prasadam to the people, you will need a lot of sandalwood. So, before the deity room opens, those devotees who are busy with the preparing the sandalwood, they will be engaged in grinding the sandalwood to make that pulp. So, he took up that service also. And same time, he was busy in the kitchen also. These two things, he was doing the service there at the ashram. So, while doing these two services, he never got much time to do any sadhana. He hasn't got any time for sadhana. So, there was no particularly any serious sadhana he did. He didn't do any sadhana either. But, he used to get this association with Maharshi in the kitchen. And he used to utilize it very much. So, after a few days, he realized the desire started building up, seeing the Maharshi's mood, Maharshi's realizations, which he started thinking deeply into it. And he will, as and when he got some time, he'll go and sit there in front of him to listen to him. So this became his habit. So you can see, when a jiva becomes mature to receive spiritual life, from unknown sources, unknown quarters, things are arranged by Krishna. How he will get that right direction and the goal, it will clear, carved out for him in an unknown way. Everything is in Krishna's control. It's not by our effort things happen in spiritual life. What we have to do is to keep that desire inside very strongly and continuously do our best to hear about Krishna. And by Krishna's arrangement, things will happen in life. It's not by our effort that it happens. Because when you go through your effort, there is always the ego behind it working. So in one instance, when they were in the kitchen, these ladies asked this question. Their question was people, when they are leaving the body, they say that you should be in remembrance of the soul, means Krishna. In remembrance of Krishna, you should leave the body. Is that in our hands? This was the question. Ladies were very intelligent ladies. They were not people without any understanding. They were people who were reading the books, who were thinking, reflecting and all that. So naturally this question came up. At the time of death, if we remember the soul, soul means, when we say remembrance of the soul means Krishna's presence inside. If we think about that and leave the body, is that in our hands or is that in somebody else's hands? Is that something you can do anything about it? This was the question from the ladies. So in answer to that, the Maharshi replied in two different ways. He says there are two things involved here. That was his reply. Maharshi was very advanced in his realizations and everything. Maharshi says to them at that moment that if you, in your life before death, much before death, throughout your life, if you have practiced spirituality, spiritual activities, if you have pursued seriously, and at some point in time, if you have received a little bit glimpse of that truth, realization of that truth in this life, which means that I am pure consciousness, Shuddha Prajna. Remember the word Prajna we discussed yesterday. If I have that realization that I am pure consciousness, which means I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not the senses, I'm not the ego, I am pure soul, pure Krishna's part or Krishna's presence inside as the soul. If I have that realization, at some point, if you have experienced in life, sometime, it doesn't matter when, that will never leave you. This was Maharshi's answer. It will never leave you. It will stay there, and at the time of death, it will come back to help. To help us. It will, at time of death, it will come back to help us. And that was one thing Maharshi mentioned at that time. He was saying that if you have, if you are, because the lady's question was, is it in our hands to control, to remember at the time of death, remembering Krishna? Is that in our hands? Can we do anything about it? So Maharshi's answer was, if it has happened to you, this realization, not at the time of death, but before that, any time in your, during your spiritual pursuit, if that instance when you had some self-realization has happened, then even if that you have lost it afterwards, it should come back. Apparently it is so powerful, that realization. So what it means is that we shouldn't be too much worried what will happen at the time of death. We should be more concerned now what we are doing. Today, if we devote your energy in this self-realization process by constantly reflecting on these discussions, what Krishna is talking with Uddhava and Arjuna, that will lead you, at some point you will hit that when this realization can happen inside. And then you, after that, how your prarabdham will drive you, you don't know. Nobody can say how prarabdham will develop. Sometimes you can see this in spiritual life. Sometimes you feel quite good. You are chanting, you are reading Bhagavadam, your mind is absorbed a lot. But some other time, something else happens in the family, something else happens in the friends or relatives or something, and you are unable to do anything. Everything goes top in a very chaotic state. Even sometimes you don't even feel like getting up in the morning. To such an extent, you get disturbed, isn't it? So, different modes of nature, when these thoughts will come to engage in spiritual life, it's very difficult to say. But when you have it, Maharshi's point is you should immediately jump into it and try to develop this understanding whenever that happens in life. Because many times it may not happen in life, this consciousness. That is number one. Secondly, he says, if you have done that, that will protect you at the time of death. If you keep your false ego inside, which we all have, yeah, if you keep your false ego inside and engage in spiritual life, then that will not bring the result. It will not bring any result. Because this false, based on, depending on false ego and engaging in spiritual life, what I mean to say is this. False ego is a very subtle thing. We are not even conscious of that. But how do you know a person has false ego? You can notice that. The false ego, a man who is engaging in spiritual life with false ego, man who engaging in spiritual life in a pure Krishna consciousness, they are two different people. One who engages in spiritual life with false ego, you will see he will be always conscious of how many rounds I have chanted, what all he has done in his spiritual life, for, and he is expecting the results from his spiritual activities. Plus, he will be very concerned about his own spiritual advancement from an egoistic level. That kind of spiritual life will not help. That will not give any perfection in spiritual life, because everything is done from the level of false ego. And ahankaram, in other words. Ahankaram is the false ego. So when within the basis of false ego, that's why we say that how many rounds we have chanted, we don't have to tell anybody. It's your personal thing you keep to yourself, and you have to keep all your sadhana to yourself. Doesn't have to be openly declare to the world what sadhana you are executing. That is your inside. Krishna will answer that question, whatever you are doing, whether it is placing Krishna or not. But false ego platform, if you engage in spiritual life, it will not remember. At no time you will get this clarity inside. Clarity, I mean the clarity of our connection with the soul. So on the one hand, the false ego is strong. On the other hand, you are doing the sadhana also with the false ego behind it. So therefore, it will take a very long time to get some clarity inside. When I mean to think, clarity means this clarity that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not senses, I'm not ego, I am soul. That shifting, that attention from the asat to the sat won't happen very easily. So therefore, when the body is in a reasonable shape, health-wise, when the body is in a reasonable shape, and if you have constantly reflected on all what Krishna has spoken, and when the false ego is at the minimum level, you should catch hold of Krishna at that time. That's the time one should get hold of Krishna. What it means is that when your ego is not too powerful, because you also know yourself that how strong that ego is inside. When the ego is at very low level, when there is not a lot of ego, we should catch hold of Krishna. Means, when we say catch hold of Krishna, means understand that Krishna is inside as the soul, present inside, and develop that relationship, constantly remembering about His presence inside and our identity with Him, in connection with Him. And that way, if that thoughts are going in all the time, if you are reflecting like that, we will move away from the platform of false ego. Naturally, in a very very slow pace, we will come out of that false ego. The more time we spend on these thoughts, the false ego will leave us. False ego won't stay there. That's what we were saying yesterday. Like the body, like the mind, like the senses, ego also takes birth and dies. It doesn't stay. It doesn't have permanent existence. The only thing in this whole package, permanent, is the soul. Nothing else. All other things are birth and death, including the ego. And jiva means, generally, it's to be identified with the ego. Isn't it? False ego. So, the question is, Maharshi's answer was, when the health is good, and when you are in the right consciousness, you are in satogunam. Everybody goes through these stages in life, isn't it? Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas is there. Sometimes you feel very happy in Sattvagunam. Why? Because Sattval Sanjayate Jnanam. Jnanam develops in Sattvam. Sattvagunam means Jnanam. So when there is Sattvagunam in a person, and when the Sattvagunam is very strong, at that time we should reflect on all these things and take complete shelter of Krishna's presence inside as the soul. First we have to catch hold of Krishna, then Krishna will catch hold of us later. This is how that works. First thing has to be from our side. It's later, it is from Krishna's side. So initially, if you have caught up Krishna's hand, Krishna's lotus feet, in the beginning, in the mood when you are with the deeper understanding that I am not this body, not the mind, not intelligence, not the ego, if you have taken Krishna's shelter, that will come back at the time when we leave the body. This was Maharshi's answer at that time. So, first we have to get hold of Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna will get hold of us. So, if after getting hold of Krishna, even if we leave Krishna after that, it is not harm. It's not dangerous. Because once you have caught hold of Krishna's lotus feet, later on, it is Krishna's duty to get us out of this state where we are. So, when we say the soul, Krishna and all that, it is the language of the jnanis. It is the language of the jnanis. Our swarupam. Our swarupam means our identity is actually in the language of the jnanis, is that we are we are same as Krishna in that sense. That from the Jnani's point of view, it is spoken like that. That Krishna's presence inside is that our identity is the soul, is that Krishna's presence is recognized in that way. So, so that was one thing he mentioned at the time when these questions came up. The questions from the ladies were that at the time of death, is it possible to remember Krishna? Is that in our control? In answer to that, Maharshi said, at the time of death, you should not be concerned about it. You should be concerned about it today. Right now, somehow or the other, if you have made it in this life of that clear understanding that I am not this body, mind, intelligence and ego, but I am pure spirit soul, if you have reached that state, even for some time, that means you are getting hold of Krishna's lotus feet and escape from this for some time, then that will come to your help at the time of death. That then another thing what he mentioned was that when our false ego inside, ahankaram, when it starts coming down, at some time false ego is very high. As much as spiritual realization happens, spiritual understanding comes inside, false ego starts coming down. Isn't it? Ahankara Chayam, it's called. So, when the Ahankara Chayam starts, so, he also mentioned that when this Ahankaram or false ego inside, it is such a subtle thing, difficult for us to understand. If you ask people, oh, I'm very humble, everybody says like that, isn't it? We are all very humble people. But how much ego is inside us, only circumstances will prove. That when suddenly everything goes and we are out with our true nature, true colors, in other words. So this Ahankaram inside, if when it leaves us, when it leaves us, little by little, you can understand that your spiritual progress is happening inside. It is the only measure by which you can know that your false ego is disappearing, you are making progress in spiritual life. There is no other way to measure that. People ask this question. And sometimes artificially we act in a humble way. Artificially. Inside ego nothing has changed. The ego is very strong inside still. But in a genuine case, when the Ahankara Chayam, Maharshi's answer was like this. He was saying these two things, one about I mentioned before, the second one he was saying that when the Ahankaram is coming down, the false ego is coming down, gradually it is decreasing inside, your spiritual progress also you can see happening within you, without anybody telling you. Nobody has to come and tell you, oh Prabhu, you have made a lot of advancement. That's all bogus. Absolutely don't take any of these things, statements for granted, because people will say all sorts of things. And but the only way to measure it is when your false ego is coming down inside. So, these instructions, Maharshi gave it to them one day in the kitchen while they were cutting the vegetables. So after that, this Brahmana became much more conscious of these things. And sometimes he used to get very angry, because when you get instructed by so many people in the kitchen, you also feel sometimes, So sometimes he used to get angry very much. So he understood that it's not a good thing. So what he used to do, whenever he got angry, he will lie down on the ground. So he'll go outside and lie down on the ground and start rolling in the ground for some time till he loses his anger from inside. So one day, what he thought was that he was so angry with something happened, and he goes to Maharshi and says to, went to see the Maharshi. So Maharshi was sitting there and he wanted to ask this question, how to control the anger. But when he got there, he couldn't ask the question. He asked something different. He said, shall I go on a parikrama and come back? Instead of asking how to control the anger, the whole inside, after seeing the Maharshi, everything changed. He went on a parikrama. Parikrama took about 10-12 miles to walk. He went on a walk 4 hours or so, and he came back. After he came back, he felt that the best way to control anger is to go on a parikrama. Whenever anger comes. So he started doing that from since then, and in due course, his anger also left him. So all these emotions inside, which are detrimental to spiritual life, it is only up to us to think in terms of purifying it by proper reflection and proper way of behaving in this world. So later on you will see that Brahmana has never executed any particular sadhana in his life. But afterwards what happened was, one day he fell very sick. This Brahmana fell very sick. And a lot of people thought he is almost dead. He is almost dead. So they were taking him to hospital. They decided to put him in a car or something, and they were taking him to a hospital. So while taking him into the hospital, they were suddenly he came out of his illness. He became much more normal. So they asked him, do you want to go to hospital or do you want to go to the ashram back? He says, it does not matter to me whether it is hospital or the ashram. He has already reached that state. That means he was asking, saying like this, that it does not affect me, wherever it is. You can do whatever you want with this body. This was his answer. So you can see that someone who has taken the message and someone who has taken shelter of this message properly, it has saved him, and he had some clarity of these things in his spiritual life. So which has come to the time of these last days in his life, when they were decided to take him to hospital or ashram, because he was very sick. And he was saying that, don't bother about that, you can take me wherever you want, I am not this body. To answer in that way for a very sick person is very difficult, isn't it? So, but because that reply has come from them, from him, they were able to, they could understand that some realization in him has come back to him to protect him from the fear of death. So he was saying that, I am not this body, you can do whatever you like, that already Krishna has taken control of me. That was his answer. So after that, he was always a very peaceful person. And within a very short time, he said to some people that in 8 days from now, after afternoon 2 o'clock, I'll be leaving my body. He says like this. So people who heard all these things, they were laughing at it. How can somebody correctly predict the time of death? He said, from the day he spoke, 8 days from now, he says, I'll be leaving the body in the afternoon 2 o'clock. So every day he will call those who are around him, another 7 days left, another 6 days left, another 5 days left, 4 days left. Like this he kept on telling every day. So everybody was thinking he has gone crazy. Everybody thought he has gone crazy. And they were telling him, why are you worried? When you go, you will go. You don't have to keep telling this, he says. He says, no, it's not like that. I am ready to go and I am going to be taken back. Krishna is going to take me back. This was his answer. So 3 days, 2 days, and the last day came. Last day in the morning, he says, I'll be going at 2 o'clock. He said. So everybody laughed when he kept saying like this. And he was in a healthy state. About 1:45, 2 o'clock came. He told everybody, sit down there, he said, and he lied down and he left his body. So what I'm saying is that he hasn't done any sadhana in life. He hasn't done any shastram, he didn't study seriously. All what he has done was got the association of some serious people in spiritual life. In their association, reflected on the soul very strongly. Took it to the heart very seriously. Result was that he had that realization that I am not this body. He has understood about what his real identity is as the spirit soul. Came to his help at the time of death, to the extent that he was able to leave the body at the time and with sufficient advance notice, and in the pure Krishna consciousness he left his body and went back. So all these things do happen in this world. Even now, these things do happen. We don't notice all these things because our mind is not tuned for that. We are busy with so many other things, isn't it? So, important thing is that Krishna is talking, this is what Krishna is saying in that last verse. Esham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimuhyati stitvasya andakalebi brahma nirvana mrchati. So, if you have experienced that brahmi sthiti to some extent, Krishna says that nainam prapya vimuhyati stitvasyam andakalebi brahma nirvana mrchati. That once you have got yourself situated in your identity as spirit soul, that's what it means, isn't it? When we say we are not the body, we are not the mind, intelligence, ego and all that, what it means is that I have reached that state of soul, in the spirit soul identity has come to me. If that has been realized for some time, Krishna is saying here, Sthitvasya, if you are situated like that sometime before, Andhakalevi, even at the time of death, Brahma Nirvanam Murchati. That in that state, the body will drop. In this Brahmana's case, for example, once he has reached that state, more or less he was in that consciousness all along after that. That's why when he was asked whether to go to hospital or ashram, he was not too concerned about it. Because, you see, when you leave the body and come to the spiritual platform, after that, you don't hate the body. You don't hate it. Eh? You understand that you are not that. That's all. You don't hate the body. Oh, I kicked this body now because I was told that I'm not this body. No, don't do that. You understand that. It's a kind of a realization, isn't it, inside, that I have identified with something wrongly, which I am not. And now I come to my proper identity as the soul, spiritual level. I realize that, in other words. So when realization comes, that the this thing happens by Krishna's mercy. All these things happens by Krishna's mercy or the mercy of a great devotee. So once it has happened, Namukhyati, Krishna says, Krishna is giving the guarantee, Namukhyati. That's what he says here. Nainam prapya vimukhyati. That is Krishna's guarantee. He will not fall into that illusion again. You will never lose it, Krishna is saying. You will never have the power to lose it, even if you want to lose it, if you have got that identity yourself. So, nainam prapya vimukhyati. That moham gachari. What is moham? Moham means that moham, the word Krishna has used. That sthitvasya andhakalebi brahma nirvana mrchati. Vimuhyati means freedom from moham. Vimuhyati means freedom from moham. Moham means this illusion in us. Very strong saying that I am this body. That is moham. That is the moham. Identifying with something what I am not. That's moham. Very difficult, isn't it? To come. Because even to think, we are so conditioned in our bodily identity that it's all in the lips only. Nothing from coming from the heart. This realization is not coming from the heart. So that's why Krishna is saying, nainam prapya vimuhyati, that moham has to go from inside. So, if we keep on cultivating, I am this body, I am this mind, I am the senses, I am the intelligence, like that, what will happen? At the time of death also, there will be no other thoughts inside except that. We will be still fighting at the time of death, knowing very well we are going to lose the battle, we will still be fighting to stay in the body. You see? So, without even knowing Shastram, you can see our foolishness. Isn't it? You don't have to study Shastram for this. All of us, what do? At the time of death, still look, is there any possibility of survival? Is there any possibility of continuing in this body? Because throughout life, this is the only thing we have done. Identification with the body. In the Shastram, the word used is adhyasam. Adhyasam means to hold on to something false and to take it as the truth and not to leave it. This is adhyasam. So this adhyasam, what we have as the body, 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 throughout life chanting and acting on that platform, where what possibility is there to think about the soul at the time of death? So it's an important question. We ought to ask ourselves this question. If I continue the way I'm living now, what will happen at the time of death? What will be my consciousness at the time of death? So those who are making this propaganda, at the time of death I'll chant and go back, they should ask this question to themselves. Throughout life I'm thinking about my body, identifying with the body, and I never had any time to do anything else except looking after this body. What possibility is there me thinking about anything else at the time of death except the body? So at this point in time, if I have the guarantee within me that I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, not on an intellectual level, that you must know, it's not on an intellectual level, in the experience level, and if there is prajnadardhyam means the intensity of this prajna is very deep. If it is very deep, in that case, at the time of death also, it will be there. It won't go. While living in this body itself, we should see that thing what we are. While living within this body, we should see that thing which is not the body. We should see that here right now. That is called Sat, isn't it? Krishna has given a name for that is Sat. Sat. Na sade vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayorave drishtvandam stanayor tatvadarshivi. So tatvadarshis, realized souls, have already established that to see oneself as not this body, that Sat inside, that the soul I am. And with full clarity inside, seeing that in that way, and seeing that completely separate from the body, mind, intelligence, that is what Krishna calls as Brahmi Sthiti. Yeah? So Brahmi Sthiti means to see that truth what we are inside, our spiritual identity as the soul, which is what we call as part and parcel of Krishna. Or you can, any example if you take, doesn't matter. That body belongs to material nature. Soul belongs to Krishna. This is these two things combined together and we were created. Krishna and the material nature together, we were created. So when we understand that I am not this body, neither the mind nor the intelligence, and I am keep seeing myself separate from all these things and established in that, Krishna calls it as Brahmi Sthiti. That is Brahmi Sthiti. So that is the state where there is me and mine doesn't exist. Mamata and Ahanda. Me and mine doesn't exist in that state. So you will know these things when you are reaching that state. Also, in your own spiritual practices, when false ego disappears from inside, little by little, all these things will get clear to anyone who is practicing it. When the false ego is disappearing from inside, this kind of clarity will come to that person. Krishna is saying, Stityatvam andhakalebi brahma nirvanam ruchadi. If we know these things now, at the time of death, when you leave this body, it will be like the snakes when it leaves its cover. I don't know whether you know about this, that the snakes have a very fine cover on its body, a white colored thing, which is not noticeable. It's like the celluline paper-like thing, which is a small coating over that. When it keeps crawling on the ground, after a while, it leaves that. And sometimes you will see that lying there in the garden, in the forest and all, which is an indication that the snake has passed through that way. So when it leaves that cover, it's a white cover mostly on the snakes, and then the new cover builds up on the body again. So when it leaves the old cover, it just leaves and it goes. Similarly, a person who has reached this Brahmi sthiti, it is like that snake, it leaves its cover, it leaves this body and it goes. And we go from this body. Why we are talking in all these things is that the identity with the body is very difficult to break it. It is so deep rooted inside. And our activities have been like that. So, I don't know whether you heard Namdev. Namdev was a great devotee, Maharashtrian saint. He said like this, his words were like this. He said, while living in this body, I saw the death. That was his words about it. While living in this body, he saw the death, he says. In other words, he has experienced that. What it means, the death means. You can experience death while living within the body. Because actual death means separation from the body, isn't it? Separation from the body. So while living within the body itself, if you feel that separation from the body, it's finished. The death you have already experienced what it means. It was Namdev's statements about it. The death of the body, he says. Death of the body I have seen. And the body, another name for the body is death. Another name for the body is death. Body is another name of death. And I is another name for liberation. I is another name for liberation. Why? Because actually it is the I who is always in the liberated state, isn't it? Krishna says that in Uddhava also, Uddhava. The soul has neither bondage nor liberation. Gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, the soul has none of these things. So if you have experienced that spiritual identity as the soul, then that is liberation. And body, which is another name, is death. Body is meant for death. It's meant to die. And I am meant to live. I is meant to live. Not the ego, the soul is meant to live. So shifting the attention from the body to our own individual soul, spiritual. That is what the Upanishads are talking about. You will see the famous statements. Asadoma sadgamaya, murtyoma amurdam gamaya, tamasoma jodhar gamaya. All that, what does it mean? It means this. Asadoma sadgamaya. Asata is body. From that come to the sat, the soul. Asadoma sadgamaya. Murtyoma amurdam gamaya. That means body is meant for, supposed to experience mrityu, death, isn't it? From mrityu, amrutam gamaya. Amrutam means immortality. Our pure nature in spiritual level, identity, is immortal we are. We are not meant to die. Death is for the body. That's why Upanishads are saying, amrutoma, mrityoma, amrutam gamaya. From death comes to immortality. Tamasoma jyotirgamaya, come out of darkness to light. All this is indicating this thing, this one thing. These are famous Upanishad statements. Asadoma sadgamaya, murtyoma amrutamgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. These three statements are indicating only one thing. Come out of this identity from the body to the identity of the soul. So, so, this does not mean that, this also you have to remember, condemnation of the body. That's not what it means. We are not condemning the body. All what is happening is that due to enlightenment or understanding, our realization, we started working and started experiencing the truth. Experiencing the truth. So naturally, this body will not have any more influence on you anymore. Today, body is influencing us considerably, isn't it? Body is all the time influencing us. In different ways, body is body is controlling us, in other words, all the time, isn't it? So that will go, and we will start seeing that, well, I have left it out, which I am not, and I go back to my Surupam, my pure identity as the soul. Now, and when you are in that state, your relationship with the body is proper. If you come to that realization, then the relationship, that doesn't mean that the body goes away straight away. Body won't drop away like that. Body will only drop when the prarabdham is over. Suppose even after realization that I'm not this body, straight away, if you have realized I'm not this body, body is not going to leave you. It will still continue with you. Body will only leave you when you have finished all that prarabdham, what you are meant to experience in that body. So, but living within that body, knowing that I am not that body, is different than living in the body thinking that I am the body. Isn't it? It's two different states. So, when you have realized this and you are still living in the body, you don't hate the body for what is happening to the body. But your relationship with the body is much more natural then. At the moment, our relationship with the body is not natural. Remember that. It's very artificial. And with all these perfumes and all dressing up and all, it becomes more and more unnatural. To the way we decorate our body today and the way we think of this body, it's becoming more and more unnatural. This is not proper relationship with the body. Proper relationship with the body is what Krishna is saying here, Brahmistiri. That's a proper relationship. Where you have come out of the body and you are seeing the body, well, I have come to my proper identity as the soul. This body, I have to leave it to itself. It has to be taken by nature in its own way when the prarabdham is over. What is the reason why the body don't drop away? There is a reason behind it. It's not something happening in an unnatural way. Reason is this. The prarabdha karmam, what you have to experience in this body, has created this particular body, isn't it? It's due to, this is called prarabdha shariram. So that prarabdham is what has created this body. Self-realization has happened afterwards. Before self-realization happened, prarabdham has taken the form of, in the form of this body. Therefore, even after self-realization, you have to wait till the body goes. This is the way it works. Had self-realization happened before prarabdha shariram has happened, you don't have to go through this body. But during the course of your life in this body, when you were having this prarabdha shariram, it is prarabdham was going through, that is when self-realization happened. But prarabdham has already taken the shape of the body, so you have to wait. That's why they say that those who are liberated, even within this body, they have to wait. Prarabdham will never be taken away. The only thing is, they will wait till the body finishes the prarabdham, and then they don't have to come back again. Dehastobina dehastha. Bhagavadam says like that, isn't it? They live in that state. Dehastobina dehastha. They are not in that state. And Krishna is saying that state is called Sthita Prajnatam or Brahmi Sthiti. It all means the same thing. Sthita Prajnatam or Brahmi Sthiti. So, how much amount of things we talk about it, if you do not get that illumination inside or clarity inside about that, if you try to catch it with the mind, you won't get it. It has to be experienced on another plane altogether. So, is there anything to be done for this? Nothing to be done for this. You don't have to run around all over the world looking for this. It has to happen inside and be in the association of in satsangam, in the satsangam. It is in satsangam. Without our knowledge, this thing will start creeping inside. Start creeping inside. So in the Shastram, what they call it is, at that point one day you will realize Swakandhabharanam. Swakandhabharanam means that a lady has got a gold chain in her neck and she is searching for it everywhere. Where did I lose it? Where did I lose it? Eventually she realizes that it is her own neck. She finds it. Similarly, this thing called soul is not to be inquired in the rest of the world. It is right there inside us. This is the thing what we are searching. That when you come to that, you will start laughing yourself. I've been searching for this all over. All the shastram we were studying, or going here, seeing this guru, that guru, and all kinds of inquiries were continuing. But at the end, the thing what you are searching is right inside there. So that realization comes at that point. So then we'll get our identity as what we are. This is the symptom of a sthita prajna. Sthita prajna symptom is like this, all what we have spoken so far. Yasham brahmi sthiti partha nainam prape vimuhyati sthitvasya andagalebi brahma nirvanam murchati. Saying this, we completed that second chapter. So, when Krishna said this last verse, Arjuna got the doubt. Arjuna's doubt started. What was the doubt? Where did all these doubts are coming from? Acharya says this like that I mentioned this before, if Krishna is speaking from one level, anubhavamandalam, from his experience, he's that, isn't it? He's in that state all the time. Krishna is in that state all the time. And the person who is hearing is not hearing it from that same level, the doubts will naturally happen. So, Krishna is talking from Brahmi sthiti. From the Brahmi sthiti. Arjuna is hearing from the mind. Both are entirely different plane. Therefore, doubt. Doubting is the nature of the mind. Doubting is a nature of the mind. No matter whatever you say, mind will keep on creating doubts inside about everything. That's the very nature of the mind. And same thing with the intelligence also. Intelligence also will drive you in the same way. Mind and intelligence will keep on bringing doubts inside. So, but certain things mind and intelligence cannot touch. What's that? I am existing. Mind won't tell me, do you really exist? That question doesn't come, does it? It will never come, that question. Do I really exist? When Jagrat state, dream state, deep sleep state, in every state, if there is one thing I am completely confident, completely conscious of, is that my existence, I am existing, isn't it? In that, so what it says here is that nobody can have any doubt about that. In that consciousness, which means identification with the soul. In that mandalam, in that phase, there is no doubt at all. Nobody has any doubt. Doubt is all in the mind and the intelligence, not in the experience of the soul. When you are experiencing the soul, your identity with the soul, there is no question of any doubt. Doubts are all in the mental platform or intellectual platform. So, swarupa anubhuti. So, in other words, once you have experienced or realized the self, there is no more question of doubts coming after that. After self-realization, there won't be any doubts anymore. Up to that point, so those who are in that state, realized state, when they are speaking, and the persons who are listening also are not in that state, they will not get a grasp of it. They won't capture it. And that's what has happened here between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is speaking from purely from Brahmi sthiti, and Arjuna is hearing from the state of mind, from the mental state, mental platform. So constantly he is saying, I'm not getting this, I'm not getting that. So you can see that often when people ask this question, that they're not getting it, they're trying to get it with the mind. If you try to capture the soul with the mind, you won't get it. It's beyond that. So Maharshi used to give the example like this. It's just like a thief entered a house. And when he entered the house, a scorpion bit him. So what will he do? This is the situation with all the realized souls. Realized souls have this problem. They are in that state. Because he is a thief, he can't cry. But the scorpion has bit him, the pain is so strong, he has to cry. So you are caught up in a state where you can't do this, you can't do that. Similarly, self-realized souls also, they have the same problem. Due to self-realization, they have to speak the truth. But due to the audience completely in the bodily concept of life, they can't understand anything, what he is talking about. This is our spiritual life. Spiritual life is very problem like this. It puts everyone in a corner. You know, you are trying to capture it through the mind, through the intelligence, and analyzing it this way, that way, but it's not getting it somehow in the control. So you can't cry, you want to cry. So it's that kind of state. So with the mind and intelligence you are trying to capture, this is Arjuna's doubt. This is what caused this doubt in Arjuna. So Arjuna is asking Krishna in two verses, the first question to Krishna. Let's read those verses. Third chapter. Arjuna uvacha jayasi chel karmanaste mata buddhi janardana talkim karmani ghoremam niyojayasi keshavam vyamishreniva vakena buddhim mohayasiva me tadegam vada nischityam yena shreyoham apnuyam. Once again, Arjuna uvacham jayasi chel karmanaste mata buddhi janardana talkim karmani ghoremam niyojayasi keshavam vyamishreniva vakenam buddhim mohayasiva me tadekam vada nischityam yena shreyoham apnuyam. So, two verses here. Yeah? Arjuna's doubts. So, it is with these doubts this chapter has started. Because of Arjuna's doubts only, this Karma Yogam chapter was spoken. This third chapter. Because, as I mentioned before, the second chapter has spoken everything. What whole Bhagavad Gita has to say is there in the second chapter. It's there in the second chapter. That's why it's titled Contents of Bhagavad Gita Summarized. So everything Krishna had to say is already there in the second chapter. But because of this problem that Arjuna is capturing with the mind, Krishna is speaking from Brahmi Sthiti, it didn't bring the benefit to Arjuna. Arjuna was confused. So doubts came to Arjuna and Arjuna asked these doubts. If you look at Arjuna's doubts, earlier in the second chapter, if you remember, Krishna talked about Karma Yogam. What was that? Karmanyeva adhigaraste ma bhaleshu kadachana ma karma bhalahe dubbur ma te sangostu agarmani. That Karma Yogam Chatursutram it's called. That is the words, if you look earlier, I think it was 47 verse is all Karma Yogam in the second chapter. Verse 47 is Karma Yogam. Verse 47 is Karma Yogam. So already Krishna has spoken Karma Yogam. Prior to that he spoke Sankhyam, isn't it? Jnanam was spoken about the soul. Remember that initial discussion from Krishna with Arjuna about the soul. That is Sankhyam, Jnana Yogam. So Jnanam was spoken, Karmam was spoken in the second chapter. And these are the two main topics in the Bhagavad Gita. These are the two main topics in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Krishna says that. The two traditions, Surya Vamsham, the Ramachandra solar dynasty followed the Jnana Margam. Krishna's dynasty, the Yadu Vamsham, followed the Karma Margam. We spoke about all that before, if you remember. So, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, Karma Yogena Yoginam. Bhagavad Gita has only these two processes, Jnana Margam and Karma Margam. And I also mentioned about Bhakti Margam at that time. Because without Bhakti, neither Jnanam nor Karmam will work. So bhakti is in everything. Without bhakti, no yoga system will work without bhakti. So that's why bhakti is not mentioned specifically as it is. Okay, there's a chapter called Bhakti Yogam later in the 12th chapter where bhakti is referred to explain to us what bhakti yoga state of bhakti is. But bhakti as a yoga system, if you take, it is to be with jnanam and karma. Both jnani needs bhakti and the karma yogi also needs bhakti. Without bhakti, none of the yoga system will be complete in itself. So here, what we'll see here is that in the second chapter, Arjuna's first doubt is coming here now. Krishna used the word, already karma was spoken in the second chapter, isn't it? So at that time, Arjuna's question is, Jayasi chal karmanaste madabuddhi janardana talkim karmani ghore maam niyojayasi keshava. Arjuna is saying here that Jayasi chal karmanaste madabuddhi janardana. If you think that you have been telling me before that jnanam is better than karma, knowledge is better than action. If that's your opinion, why do you engage me in this war? Why you keep on telling me, fight Arjuna, fight, get up and fight. Keep telling me this. So one hand you are telling me that the jnanam is better, knowledge is better. And then you spoke about karmam and you are telling me to fight. Why? This was Arjuna's doubt, which is quite a reasonable thing, isn't it? In a person hears second chapter, this doubt will definitely come to anybody. After glorifying about the soul and knowledge and everything, Krishna switches on to karmam and says, this is how karma yoga has to be performed, and Arjuna, you take weapons and start fighting now, says to Arjuna. So Arjuna's question here at that time, he says here that Krishna also used the word buddhi there. Remember when he spoke about that? Buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana bhalahetava. When we discussed about Sankhyam, you will see there, Krishna used the word in the verse 49, if you look in the second chapter. Dureena hyavaram karma buddhi yogal dhananjaya buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana bhalahetava. So there Krishna spoke about buddhi. Krishna spoke buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana bhalahetava. So in that verse, Buddhav Sharanamanyucha Kripana Bhalahedava, Krishna gave a little indication to Arjuna that even while executing karmam, karmam is not the important thing, but the knowledge is important. Yeah. We think that karmam and knowledge are two separate things. Actually, they are not. You see, they are all so interconnected. You can't execute karmam without knowledge. Can you? You can't execute karmam without knowledge. So, Krishna's point is, even while executing karmam, this is the message Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna thought, you told about knowledge and then you told about karmam. Now, when you told me about karmam, I have been thinking that you are glorifying jnanam so much. Now you are telling me to engage in karma. What Arjuna didn't get was, karmam and jnanam are not separate. With this jnanam inside, you should execute karmam. This is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. With the jnanam inside, execute the karmam in that way. But Arjuna did not get that message through. So therefore he says here, even while executing karmam, the importance is not for karmam, importance is for the knowledge in there. With what knowledge you are executing karma, that's more important. So buddhau sharanam anyucha kripana balahetava. So there sankhya buddhi, that is called sankhyam. Sankhya means the knowledge side of it, or jnanam. That Krishna said that take shelter of the sankhya buddhi. Now I'll talk about yoga buddhi, he said. Yoga buddhi. So when Krishna said buddhi, Arjuna misunderstood. Buddhi means Arjuna thought it is Brahmanishta, Sannyasam, or Brahmavicharam, all these kind of things. That's why Arjuna is asking here, either you tell me to give up everything, or you should ask me to do the work in this world. This is how Arjuna is saying it. Arjuna is not saying it like the way Krishna has taught in his, Krishna has presented in his words. Arjuna did not capture that message properly. Krishna was saying to Arjuna, he spoke Sankhya first, and then he spoke Yogam after that, isn't it? So, knowing very well Arjuna's nature, Krishna says to Arjuna, you fight, keeping this inside, this knowledge what Krishna has spoken before in the beginning of the second chapter. But Arjuna thought there are two different things. One is Sankhya, one is Yoga. Sankhya, I thought, oh, that doesn't work for me. So I'll go for yoga route. This is how Arjuna was thinking. But what Arjuna missed the point was that Sankhya inside execute the yoga. This was the thing Krishna was trying to get it to Arjuna. So Arjuna is asking this question here, that one side you are saying that you give up everything, then execute, engage in karma. On the other hand, Krishna also says here that don't give up anything, continue with the work. On the other hand, first thing, what did Krishna say? That give up everything and develop this knowledge, self-realization, or the Sankhyam he spoke. And second time he says there that give up all those things and engage in this karma. So Arjuna got into that confusion. Mate sangustha akarmani. He says, you cannot stay without doing any work. Mate sangustha akarmani. Whereas just before that, Krishna told Arjuna that talking about the nature of the soul, about the truth, he mentioned so many things to Arjuna. Arjuna heard all that, and Arjuna thought, oh, this is purely for a sannyasi's life. It is keep thinking that Arjuna decided not to do that and rather listen to about Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga started appealing to Arjuna more, but at the same time he thought, I have to give up all that knowledge what Krishna has spoken before. So Krishna, Arjuna is asking here that one side you are telling me to give all your attention for knowledge, and also telling me to be situated like a Sthita Prajna. So you tell me clearly I want an answer. Arjuna is asking Krishna, give me very clear instruction, he says. So Krishna smiled, because in spiritual life this is the problem. This, tell me clearly what should I do. Everybody asks this question, he said, can you be a little bit specific about it? Like we say, in spiritual life doesn't work in that way. Nothing is specific. You have to hear everything and you have to make your own spiritual life. There's nothing you can do about it. Because then people also ask this question. You are telling us that, oh, come and sit in the satsangam and listen. Then you are also telling us, contemplate on everything. Which one should I do? People ask this question, isn't it? In satsangam, you say, just come and listen, everything. Then you say, also say, do contemplation. So which one of them should I do? They'll ask this question. People ask this question. So it's just similar to that, the same question. Here also, Arjuna is confused about it and he's saying that anything, because everything in spiritual life, the mistake is, we are trying to capture with the mind. Upanishads are telling us from the very beginning, yato vacha nivartande apraapya manasa saha. Upanishad statement. What it means is, by your words, by your mind, you cannot get that truth. The truth we are talking about, self, soul, you cannot get it neither by your mind, nor by your intelligence, nor by your words. Yato vacha nivartande apraapya manasa saha. This is the nature of the soul. So if you have accepted that inside, you will stop your mental inquiry, mental pursuit. You will give up. But we will forget this very quickly, and then we will go back again, start asking questions. Yato vacha nivartande apraapya manasa saha. If you remember that, then you won't ask any more questions. Nowadays, in spiritual life, Have you heard about this interactive session? This is all modern things in spiritual life. Interactive sessions, I believe. That means the speaker won't speak. He will ask people to ask questions. And communication between the two. They consider all this as spiritual life. Unfortunately, this whole thing is deadly against spiritual realization. It's not something by your words you can find out. This truth. It's something to be experienced inside. And experience won't come by interactive sessions. Interactive sessions are good enough to pass the time. A couple of hours talking to each other and sit and listen and you can see different viewpoints, like a parliament we can run. But that's no use, isn't it? At the end it doesn't help anything. So that's why I'm saying that a lot of these modern ideas that's coming into spiritual life is not going to bring the result what you're looking for really at the end. And because everything is speculation there, sitting there and talking to each other, everyone what comes to their head. The speaker thinks, okay, if I make it interactive, everything will be, nobody will fall asleep. Everyone will be very lively in the session. That's the idea behind it. Whereas somebody is talking all the time, after a while people will get tired listening. Listening also, you've got a little capacity, isn't it? After a while you'll fall asleep. So in order to avoid that, they've created this interactive sessions. And if you keep discussing and everyone get participated in the discussion, then naturally nobody will fall asleep. It will become interesting for the people. So that's become the modern trend in the spiritual life. But that's not the way it was conducted in the past. So anyway, Yadavaja Nivartande Aprapya Manasa Saha. So the only way this tattvam will get clarity is if the mind becomes subdued, mind becomes peaceful. If the mind is in a peaceful state, you will come to another state beyond the mind, and there in that center, this tattvam will be, will get some understanding of the tattva, what we are talking about the soul. That means, how to cross over this mental platform is the most important thing. Not to play with the mind, but to leave the mind behind and go beyond than that. This is what all the spiritual topics are discussed in that plane. Only in that plane you can... Shraddha. This is what is called Shraddha. Shraddha means this. Leaving the mind behind and coming to another level where you are able to discuss, where you are able to absorb in the spiritual topics. That is why it is said that this truth about the soul, anybody can realize this. It's not dependent on his material qualifications because of this reason. One who is able to go beyond the mind and stay in that level, and he can receive this message, he will get an easy access to the truth than someone who is highly qualified material level with a lot of material qualifications whose mind is very active. So that's why in all spiritual processes, if you look, you will see, first thing is they say control the mind. Isn't it? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and all this chanting, what we are doing is all what? Just to get this mind to come under control. That means mental mind should become in shanti, in peaceful state. 10th canto is called Mano Nirodham. The Bhagavadam, the 10th canto's name is Mano Nirodham. How to bring the mind under control. That's what it means. So this adhyatmam or spiritual topics are beyond the mind. Mind should not have any position there. In order to prove that, the story is Prahlada's story in the Bhagavatam. Prahlada's mind was not developed, intelligence was not developed, but he got the message. So, on the other hand, a highly learned scholar, he will hear all these things, and without understanding, he will be running around in circles, not knowing what to do. So, if it is to be understood by intelligence, Prahlada's intelligence has not developed in the while he was in the womb of the mother. So how can it be? We take birth and little by little our intelligence develops, isn't it? Little by little our intelligence develops. So if knowledge is to be captured by the intelligence, it cannot happen inside the womb. That's the proof for that. It cannot happen inside the womb. So in other words, this knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is not to be understood by the mind, not to be captured by the intelligence, but by knowledge itself. In other words, it is something to be realized as it is. It should be experienced by somebody. And experience of the soul is only by the soul. Only soul can experience the soul. So similarly, our consciousness, bodham, is also by the experience of consciousness only. You can't explain to someone about my experience of consciousness, can you? You have to experience yourself. For example, my existence, I am existing. Only I know. If I keep telling you I am existing, it won't make any sense to you. But you will know your existence. Because only you can know that. Nobody else can know that. Suppose there's a lamp is burning. I don't have to light a torch to see if it is existing or not. Isn't it? So because the lamp by itself is giving the signal to us. So this cause of that Arjuna's doubts, as I mentioned here, that Arjuna has, speaking from an ordinary person's level. Now, if Arjuna hasn't asked in that way, we won't understand this. Therefore, Vedavyasa has put these questions to Arjuna's mouth and put it in front of us, that Arjuna asked this question like this. Arjuna is asking, if this intelligence, or through this intelligence, the experience of the soul, if it is better than executing karmam, Janardana, he says here, so, if that is your opinion, in other words, he says here, that the experience of the soul is better than executing the karmam. Arjuna says, then why have you pushed me into engaging in work? Jayasi jal karmanaste madabuddhi janardana talkim karmani khoremam niyojayasi keshava. So already Arjuna is very opinionated. You can see. Arjuna says, talkim karmani khoremam ghora karmani. In other words, this ghastly war. Why do you push me into this? In other words, Arjuna is already thinking that I am a jnani. Why should I be busy with this karma? He's already made up his mind. Although he has not understood it properly the way Krishna has spoken, still he is saying, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, talkim karmani ghore mam. Why should I fight this war, this ghastly war, and Niyo Jayasi Keshava, why do you engage me in this? This is Arjuna's question to Krishna. So when Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, Krishna was also could understand the problem Arjuna is having. Krishna is supreme spiritual master, isn't it? Krishna Mande Jagadguru. Jagadguru knows everything. There's nothing Jagadguru doesn't know. Jagadguru knows all sorts of people with all sorts of questions will be coming. So knowing very well, you will see in the Bhagavadam, Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishna Mande Jagadguru. So Krishna is more often, generally we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, isn't it? But many great devotees and jnanis think of Krishna as the Supreme Spiritual Master. That's how they see him. There are so many verses in that way about Krishna. And you will see in Kundi Studi also, referring to Krishna as Jagadguru. So, the thing is that Krishna knows what Arjuna's problem is. So, he says here that when Krishna spoke about the knowledge to Arjuna, Krishna spoke so strongly about the soul, Krishna even mentioned that all other rituals and ritualistic activities, they are not important. He mentions that to Arjuna. So Arjuna thought, generally a Kshatriya or a Brahmana, they have got different duties, isn't it, in a daily life. Sandhya Vandanam, sacrifices, these are all their responsibility. So you have told me that you have to give up all these things. So I have given all that responsibilities, which are all part of the my daily karma, nitya karma. They are called nitya karma. Nitya karma means Sandhya Vandanam, Agnihotram for Brahmanas. For Kshatriyas also there are so many nitya karma in daily activities. And when Krishna mentioned this to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, give up all that. Higher understanding is the soul. So at that time you have told me to give up all those activities, like Sandhya Vandanam, like Agnihotram, like Upasanam. There are so many things for them. And giving up all that, and now you are telling me to engage in karma. After giving up all that karma, you are now telling me to engage in karma. This is what confusion now, Arjuna's mind. Arjuna is seeing it like that. Jayasi chal karmanaste madabuddhi janardana tal kim karmani ghore mam. Why do I have to get involved in this when you have told me to give up all karma and be situated in that highest transcendental knowledge? Niyo jayasi keshava. Then if you look at the next words, which is vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohayasivame tadegam vadanishchitya shreyena shreyoham apnuyam. Very straightforward comment from Arjuna. Vyamishreneva vakyena. What does it mean? Vyamishreneva vakyena means you are playing with the words, causing confusion in my mind because you are not very straightforward about it. Vyamishreneva vakyena. Vyamishreneva means all mixed up, not speaking with clarity, in other words. And therefore, you are telling me, I'm finding some kind of contradiction here in what you have spoken. You are telling me to fight, and at the same time, you are telling me to develop the highest knowledge as well of the soul. Vyamishreneya vakena. There is some confusion in your words. There is some confusion in your words. He says, who says this? Arjuna says to Krishna. I mentioned the story before. One sannyasi went to America once. And he was talking from Bhagavad Gita to an audience. And he said to them that about Karma Yogam one day. He spoke about Karma Yogam in detail. And he said Karma Yogam is the perfection of life. And glorified Karma Yogam a lot on the first day. On the second day, he talked about Jnana Yogam. He talked about the Jnana Yogam. And on that day, the same audience who were listening the first day, they were there in the second day as well. So, as soon as they heard about Jnana Yogam and its glories, the mind started working. Mind started, yesterday he was telling us about Karma Yogam. Today he is saying Jnana Yogam. Yesterday he said Karma Yogam is the best. Now he is saying Jnana Yogam is very important and it is the best. So, when the second day was over, they were all mutually talking to, murmuring and confused about it. But they didn't ask him anything. They kept to themselves. They started thinking, is he trying to confuse us? Completely putting us in a complicated situation. Anyway, with all these doubts in the mind, they went home. Third day they came back. And on that day, the same sannyasi spoke about Bhakti Yoga. And that day, Bhakti Yogam was glorified to such an extent, they said, at the end, they thought, we should not leave this man like this, this sannyasi. He said, as soon as the third day was over, meeting was over, they all centered around him. They told him that, Swamiji, respectfully they said, Swamiji, day before yesterday, you were talking about Karma Yogam as though that is the final goal. Yesterday, you forgotten all that, what you spoke day before yesterday. And yesterday you told us about Jnana Yogam as the perfection of life. And now this today you come and told us about Bhakti Yogam, completely forgetting about what you told the first and second day about Jnana and Karma Yogam. What is it they are trying to say? They were in this mood. Swamiji said, day before yesterday was day before yesterday. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. They did not get it still, what he was saying. So he said to them that when you have self-realized the truth, when real spiritual knowledge has come to you, you will know all this day before yesterday, yesterday, today, tomorrow, all don't exist. There is only one thing that exists, the knowledge. And that knowledge, when you get it, you will know it, that all these are one thing. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti, they are all one thing. But in order to make it for us to get out of this ignorance what we are in today, it has to be brought to us through different channels. So that somehow it clicks inside. Somehow it clicks inside. Otherwise it doesn't mean anything. Jnanam, karmam, bhakti. Ultimately everything is what? Surrender to Krishna. That's all. The truth is finished. Business is over there. But we won't surrender easily. Therefore, we have to follow this karma yogam, follow this jnana yogam, follow this bhakti yogam, raja yogam. Every day they are inventing a new yogam and coming out with the new ideas. All this is useless because all what it is saying is that we have lost our identity. That's our present problem, isn't it? We don't know what we are. Anybody we ask, we'll say, I'll say I'm so-and-so, you'll say you are so-and-so, but all doesn't mean anything. The proper identity as the truth, what we are, we have lost it. And we are wandering in this world, not knowing who we are. This is our position. We are wandering around in this world. And we know there is some truth somewhere, but we don't know where it is, where to get it, where to search for it. This is our position. So Bhagavad Gita, in order to help us, through Arjuna, Krishna is instructing Bhagavad Gita to us in such a way that Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, through all these yoga processes, Swamiji told them like this, when you transcend these things, or because time, space is all for who? For the body. For the soul, what time, what space? By very nature itself, we are eternal. Isn't it? Our pure nature is eternal. And we are always in knowledge, full of knowledge, we say. Isn't it? So the question is, where is it coming from? It's coming from the mind. It's coming from the mind. So the people who are listening is completely absorbed in the body, absorbed in the mind, and they are asking this question. And it's the same situation what you are seeing here between Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is speaking from one level, completely from the, what did he say? Nasade vidyade bhavo. That level is one level. Nabhavo vidyade sadao bayohira vidrishtuandam stvanayor tatva darshibhi dehinosmin yadhadehe. All that verse is there in the Bhagavad Gita. That is one platform. Krishna is speaking from that realized state. Brahmi sthiti. He is speaking all that. Arjuna is thinking that I am a Pandava. I am one of the... I have to look after the Pandavas. We have to fight for the justice. And Kauravas are our enemies. All this is in Arjuna's mind. So Arjuna in his conditioned state, completely absorbed in the mind, thinking what to do in this situation. One side his nice feelings are coming out, saying that I should not fight this war. All these things are working through his mind. So he's asking these questions. So that's why when Krishna spoke, it didn't go in. Vyami shrenaiva vakyena. That's why he said that there. So, so because of this, because it is like this, almost all the great teachers, spiritual masters and jnanis, realized souls, they will never answer your question. It's pointless answering questions because of this reason. What they will do, they will shift your attention from the question to the questioner. Who is asking the question? Because if you have got that, where this question is coming from, this is the same thing Krishna told Uddhava also, isn't it? Sayesha jivo vivara prasuti. Uddhava is asking, saying something, Krishna is answering something else. That's what you find in the Bhagavatam. Why? Because they know very well exactly what happened to Arjuna, same happened to Uddhava also. So Uddhava, Krishna decided that instead of answering Uddhava's question, enam brahmedi me mana, my mind is completely confused, Uddhava says to Arjuna, Krishna. So at that point Krishna says, Sayesha jivo vivara prasuti. That verse starts from there. So instead of answering the question, find out where the question is coming from. Who is behind this question? If you inquire that, and if you see who is asking this question, if you have got it at the end, then all these questions will disappear in one lot. Why? Questions have all come from the mind, not from that questioner. Questions didn't come from the questioner. Questions have come from the mind and the intelligence. So therefore, their intention, all the great jnanis and the great personalities, acharyas, what they do, they will first thing they will try to get us out of this mental platform to understand spiritual life, to get us out of the mental platform. Through mind and intelligence, if you practice spiritual life, you will not go very far. After some time, there will be confusion. And that's why many times you need to keep saying this to people, that don't stay on the level of the mind and intelligence and practice spiritual life. Because sometimes you see, they will ask, they will read the books, and they'll come up with one very strange questions. And if they don't get an answer, their spiritual life is stuck there. They can't go further than that. Because, and then every day one doubt you get, after a month you'll have 30 doubts inside. And 30, 40 doubts inside, and one day you will say, this is not working for me. And you'll go. So, mind and intelligence has a limit. We have to recognize that. And we have to know where to stop that, mind and intelligence, not to take control of us to that extent. So this is what he is saying here, that, this is not a new thing. If you look at any great soul, this is quite common, that they will not answer your question properly. Because they know, if you answer you one question, you will have another question next thing. And whole life will be questioning and answering. It won't help. It is not helping the situation. The way to do it is, get them out of that mental platform first. In order to do that, the sages, and as well as Krishna also, exactly does the same thing. They will take you out of the questions to the person, where is the question coming from? And when the inquiry starts, where is the question coming from, you will start slowly moving towards the soul. Towards the soul. Because the questions have originated from the mind, isn't it? Once you start recognizing and you know that you are not the mind, you are not the body, you are not the intelligence, and who am I, that question becoming more powerful inside, then automatically the attention will go to that, who am I? What's my true identity? And naturally, when that experience is coming through, all these silly questions, what has been bothering us, will leave us one after the other. So that's the reason it is like that. once in ashram, I mentioned I think this before also, the sannyasi used to live there, and most of the sannyasis, because they are so reflective inside, thoughtful, and they had the practical experience and realizations inside, they give very little importance to all our material etiquettes, what we follow in this world. Like time and space and things like that is not of importance to them. They don't give any importance to it. One who is progressing in spiritual life, he won't give too much importance to the rules of this world. So in that ashram where sannyasi was living, there were few others who were very particular about bringing more people into the ashram, introducing to the sannyasi, and have their association so that they can be benefited, and things like that, which happens in all the ashrams. So in one instance, there was one person who lived in that ashram. He had some visitors who had come from outside. So he thought that he may as well tell the sannyasi that these visitors are coming to see you. They were coming from a long distance away. From a very long distance. So, because they were coming specifically to see this sannyasi, he thought he'll tell the sannyasi, give him some advance information that they are coming so he can be available. But sannyasi had his own schedule, normal schedule, what he followed. That schedule was, he spent a lot of time in reflecting things or the Vedanta philosophy. That is his daily life, routine life, being alone and being reflective, which is the nature of spiritual people, isn't it? Spiritual personalities always spend time in reflecting on the truth. So he had his own schedule, and anyway, he told him, this person told him that some people are coming like this. So he said, well, they can come, he said. And this is 9 o'clock, they'll be here in the morning. So next day morning, they came at 9 o'clock, and they went to see him, and nobody was there. The room was locked, and he was gone. So these people, he felt very awkward, because people who are follows the rules of this world, they'll get very upset, isn't it, if you're not there on time. He said, looking for the sannyasi, they wandered around a lot. Eventually they found him in some corner sitting on a stone. They're feeding the cow or something like that he was doing there. So they went up to him, and by now another couple of hours are gone like this. So this person who has invited these guests who had come, they all went together, and this person said, oh, we went there, we told that you were yesterday, you will be coming at 9 o'clock. He says, yes, you told that, you were coming at 9 o'clock. He says, then he says, you are not there. He says, you are very, they couldn't resist themselves. So he says to him, that you are very inconsistent, isn't it? You say something and you don't do it. He says, yeah, I'm consistently inconsistent, he says. He says, for him, you come to see someone, a spiritual person, you don't take appointments, first thing. When you see some of the things what we do in this world, we have to laugh. We get sometimes important guests to come to the temple, isn't it? We make the whole temple as though he is the central object there in the temple. Temple central object is not any guest. Krishna is the central object. So the person who is coming also has to realize this. Without that realization, if he is coming, oh, I have come now to see Krishna. If I come with that mood, that's not a very proper way to visit Krishna, is it? So the guests also have to know, if you come with appointments and all that, it's a different, it's like a business thing then. It's not any more spiritual. So he wanted to say this to them. No matter if you are after spiritual life and spiritual knowledge, you go with the right frame of mind, first thing. There is no thing called appointments there in spiritual life. Spiritual life, there is no appointment. You go, you see, and you take what you get from there. This is, has to be the mood of the person who's visiting. So even the person who organized this visit, he has not understood. So he had to tell him this, that if you have come here with the understanding of developing some spiritual understanding of life, then you have to have that frame of mind as well. Whereas visitors, mostly they don't have time. They are busy people in this world. They are VIPs, aren't they? So we need a separate place for them, so they can be looked after. Because they are VIPs. In Krishna's eyes, what VIP? You are all bloody IPs only. It's nothing. For him, what is it? All this nonsense, what we are doing. This is all our ignorance is manifesting in different ways. That's all it is. Nothing else. We ourselves have not understood Krishna consciousness. So we are also thinking that these VIPs are all the important things in life. Misunderstanding all this is coming from. Because we are not spiritually understanding the situation. So they come and so this sannyasi wanted to say this, look, my world is different. I live in a different world. I don't live in your world of appointments and meetings and all these kind of things. But that is not getting through to them. So today what we are doing is, we are following them instead of they following us. They are meant to follow us instead we follow their way of doing things. So anyway, why I was saying this was that this is all the anarthas in the anarthas in spiritual life, what we come across. So he says here that the timing was given, but nothing was accepted. So this yesterday, today, tomorrow, appointments and all that is on a mental platform, keeping the Mind is focused on the mind. Seriously, someone who is looking for spiritual life, he will not be too bothered about anything. In that vairagyam has come to him, he will not be thinking in terms of his appointments or anything. He'll be, such people who are coming like that, if they don't get their food on time, they'll be very upset. If they're not given a proper reception, they'll be very upset. This always happens, isn't it? So, when they come like that, spiritually they won't get any benefit. Spiritually, they won't get any benefit. They'll come and they'll say, oh, everything is fantastic, very nice, very nice. They'll write something in your visitor's book and then we'll put it in the newsletter. Everybody's happy. the person who is reading the newsletter is happy. The person who has come, he's happy. Management is happy. Everybody's happy. Nobody has said, but spiritually where? Zero. Big zero. Nothing has happened. So what it is that here also what you can see here, that all Mahatmas, all the great personalities, they don't live in the mind. They don't live inside the mind. For them, that inside that, knowledge is illuminating them. They are on the spiritual platform. They have left their body already. And they are not in the body anymore. They are living there for the prarabdham to finish and the body to go. And while they are there, they want to do something good to this world. Not by following the world, but by showing to the world what spiritual life is. That's how they do it. That while living within that body, whatever time they have, once they have realized the truth, and while they are within that body, whatever time, what they are doing in this world is only for the benefit of those who are living in ignorance. Who are living in ignorance. So if they start doing the same thing what the ignorant is doing, then what benefit is that? So in order to teach those who are rotting in that ignorance and to bring them out of their illusion to the truth is something different than what you are thinking about. Because this people who are coming like this, great, great people, when they come, big men, big ministers or big leaders, when they come to the temple, their mind is occupied with all other problems of this world. They are not ready for spiritual life yet. You see, that's the problem. And we are thinking that if we somehow please them, that they will show us the way in spiritual life, that they'll be with us. This is all the fear of material existence inside is coming out in that way. So anyway, so those whose mind, once you come to the platform of the mind, and mind will start, either it is jnanam or karmam or bhakti, which is better, which is worse, which is easier, which is difficult, all these questions will start coming up. Once a person said like this, that to a sannyasi, he says that you said so many things, all this is difficult. Please write it on a piece of paper, what I should do every day. He said, from getting up in the morning till I go to bed, what should I do for spiritual life? Put it in a piece of paper and give it to me, he said. So, from the very question itself, the sannyasi understood that this person is not ready for spiritual life. Because he wouldn't ask such a question like that. Because the desire hasn't come, proper desire hasn't come inside. So he says, after he kept on persisting, insisting on that, so he wrote in a piece of paper and gave it to him, that you do japam this and this time, and dhyanam, meditation this and this time, swadhyayam, studying Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad, this and this time, and deity worship this time. Like this, a schedule he made, and he gave it to him. He said, take it and do it, he said. It'll be all right, he said. He told him like that. He took it, went home. Then he didn't see him for a long time. After a year or so, somewhere he met him again. So the sannyasi met him again. So sannyasi asked him, is what I wrote to you and gave it to you everything, is it all working okay for you? He says, I've not done anything, what you've given it to me. I couldn't do it, he said. Why? Why is that? Because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. For some time you can do it with a lot of willpower. You can keep doing that. Why? Because the spiritual life is not happening the way it should happen. It should happen continuously inside. You should feel that spiritual experience also from the soul's experience. And that ignorance should start going away from inside, which is not happening in that case. All what he did was, he realized that it is impractical, he said. It's not practical, he says. So, all what we think is practical, when you start putting into practice, you will see it's not practical. It's not practical. And most unpractical things, impractical things, will become practical. You will notice that in spiritual life. So, because, I'll tell you why. This practical, impractical is all based on the mind. Isn't it? It's all based on the mind. The chittavritti, the thoughts that is coming through in the mind, if that withdraws, it is much easier to go back to the soul and to be situated on the spiritual platform. It is the mind that is inside is creating the block. So externally, whatever you may try to do in controlling the mind, it can work for some time, but somewhere the mind is stronger than us. That's what Arjuna said to Krishna, isn't it? Mind is stronger than us. So when your willpower is nowhere near to the strength of the mind. Your willpower is nowhere near to the strength of the mind. So so it is at that point that if for a thoughtful person, if there is knowledge inside, it will help him. It will help him if he is thoughtful. Because all this what you are reading from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it will come to your help at that point. At that point it will come to your help. For example, when the doubts are coming, we should be able to control the doubts. How would you control the doubts inside? You have to ask immediately the question. As soon as I go into deep sleep, my doubts have gone away. If you say this to yourself, those doubts will not disturb you anymore. Because you will see the fickle nature of the doubts itself. See, when you give too much importance to the doubts, only then they overpower you. But as soon as you go into deep sleep or even to the dream state, there is no doubts, isn't it? Only in the wakened states, doubts are there. Is there any doubts in the dream or deep sleep? So, sometimes, as I said before also, that some doubt came to your mind. And you said to yourself that, okay, I'll ask this doubt tomorrow. And then you went to sleep. You had a good sleep. Whole night you had a deep sleep. And no doubt was bothering you at that time. Next day morning you woke up, the same man came back again, the doubt. He came back again, asking the same question. So, so it's a thought actually, isn't it? It's a chittavritti. And we gave too much importance to it. That's our mistake. So, so all the great Mahatmas who knows this, that in order to get us out of this disturbance called doubts, it's a disturbance in the thoughts, often they won't answer your question. If you ask something, they will answer something else. That is their normal procedure. Because little by little, they want to get you out of that mind. Think only mind. Otherwise, you will be still in that mental plane all the time. Deliberately, yogis do this. All kinds of yogis, they do that. And or otherwise, what they do is, they will talk to you in a contradicting way, paradox. In a contradicting way, they will talk to you. If you look in Prabhupada's books, have you seen how much contradictions are there? And people always thinking, why is it like this? There Prabhupada said this, and here Prabhupada is saying like this. And then they'll say, well, if I ask this question, will it be an offense to Srila Prabhupada? So I won't ask this question. They'll keep it in the mind. But the doubt is there inside. Why did he say like that then? Why did he say like that? And if you look into some of these DVDs, Prabhupada's disciples speaking, you have seen many of these DVDs, yeah? Some of them are saying how Prabhupada acted in one instance in one way and another instance another way. And it's not making any sense to them. Because they were taking everything literally. And deliberately Prabhupada was doing this to get them out of that mind which is causing this. All the great souls do this. They have to do that because that's the way they can come out of the mental platform. Mind is such a thing. If you allow to go into the mental platform, it will be endless effort. to get it out. So what they do is, they will, in order to get them out of the mind, out of the brain, Krishna didn't answer that question here, straight away. When Arjuna asked the question, Krishna didn't answer. Same thing he did to Uddhava also. Uddhava asked the question, Krishna didn't answer. Arjuna asked the question, Krishna didn't answer the question. That and therefore, Arjuna is saying, Vyamishrayaneva Vakena. Altogether, you have confused me. That's what Arjuna is saying to Krishna. Altogether, you have confused me, asking, should I perform Karma Yogam or should I perform Jnana Yogam? This question is deeply in Arjuna's mind. Tell me one of them, then I'll do that. Tell me which one I should do. Telling me all these various things is no good to me. the fact is, suppose Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, you practice just Karma Yogam. Can Arjuna do that? Arjuna cannot do it. Why is that? Because it's a kind of a Brahmam inside. It's a kind of, a misunderstanding inside. Suppose somebody tells me I'll do like that. Spiritual life, it cannot be done like that. This is the problem in spiritual life. That all sorts of questions will create, and we think that because I have not got the answer to the question, therefore I am not practicing spiritual life. I am not practicing spiritual life because not that my questions have been answered, it is due to my own weakness in understanding the truth and following the truth. Why? Because I am on the mental platform. I am not accepting the authority of Krishna's words. That's my weakness. It's not due to that my questions are not answered. That's not the reason. That's an important thing. So therefore, Krishna's point is here, again, Krishna is going to start now Karma Yogam, going back to a long history behind it. What Krishna is saying here, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. You can see the next words. No answer was given to the when he said about the confusion. Krishna understood the problem. Problem is that Jnanam, which means Sankhyam here, and Karmam, Krishna says here, Logesmin Dvidha Nishta Pura Prokta Mayanaga Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. So Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam, they are not different. And the same yoga system was practiced in one way at one time and in another way at another time. But one complements the other. With Jnanam, execute Karmam. That was Krishna's words there. So therefore, you can see that this platform of mind, platform of intelligence, if you do not get over it, Bhagavad Gita also becomes very difficult. That's why when we read Bhagavad Gita, simply reading and analyzing it with the mind is not a good thing to do. With the mind and intelligence, trying to understand what it is said like that. On the other hand, what we should do is keep on hearing Bhagavad Gita and various things what Krishna and Arjuna has spoken to each other. From there, it will come out certain understanding that Krishna's absolute level of speaking from the platform of Brahmistiri and Arjuna's inability to reach that state, that you can see at different levels in the throughout Bhagavad Gita. And that's why all the questions are coming, and little by little Krishna is lifting him up to come to that perfect understanding. And that is when he said, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Braja. Not day one itself, Sarvadharman Parityajya, it won't work. Without knowing who I am, what I am, where I am, how this Sarvadharman Parityajya is possible. So, we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.